morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to worship this day. This is the day that the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and be glad in it. We come together in the hymn, Mission Phrase 615, Stand Up and Bless the Lord. Come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God of all, we are already halfway through our summer months. We can wonder where the time went. We can ask the question, did we spend it well? Did we take time to wonder at your creation, the nature all around us, the sounds and the signs of summer that surround us each day? Did we take the opportunity to spend some of our time in your service? Ever-loving God, keep us mindful of the beauty of our world and the needs of others. As we come to worship this morning, perhaps there is something troubling us. Let us be reassured that you are at work in our lives, offering us healing and peace. Amazing God, who watch over us at these times and be with us in our worship. This morning we confess that sometimes we have allowed a host of worries and frustrations to crowd out your love for us. Forgive us all those times when we have been less than faithful to you. Restore our hope, our courage, and our joy for all the times ahead. Lord of this summer season, hear this our prayer as we come together in the words of our Lord, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. A lot of clacking going on this morning. It must be me. Good morning. How are you this morning? I think I might need to come a wee bit closer because you'll not see what I have here. I'll maybe just come in here. Right. Got something in my hand. But before I do this, how are your sunflowers? Are they good? What height are they? You've not measured yet? Oh, is it? Sometimes that happens, though, because flowers, you see, don't grow just exactly the way we want them. My little grandson, I have to keep telling him that it's another one that's his, because his big brother wants to have the biggest one. So the biggest one belongs to Dominic, and the next biggest one belongs to Callan. But I think he's going to get wise to that fairly soon. Well, mine's are doing really quite well, but my biggest one, which is about this height, the flower's not coming out. And that's because of all this rain and no sunshine, I guess. But I'm ever hopeful. I go and look at it every morning to see how it's doing. So back to today. And I was going to start with this, but I realise I want to start with something else. Today, later on in our service, we'll be reading from the Old Testament. Now, do you know that there are two books in the Bible? The Old Testament and the New Testament. And we're going to be hearing a story about Moses. So what do you know about Moses? Who he was?
Freed the Egyptians.
That's right. He was the one who went, God called him, and he went to Egypt to free the Israelites out of their slavery there. So you find lots of stories about them, but they're all in the book of Exodus, which is the second book of the Bible, so Genesis and then Exodus. So that's the story we're going to be listening to this morning. So I thought I'd maybe just tell you a wee bit about it this morning. It's a very, very awesome story, because you see something amazing happens. Moses is tending his father-in-law's sheep just up on a hill in the mountain. And all of a sudden, an angel appears in a bush which is on fire. And the strange thing is, now you all know we've been looking out around the world, haven't we? All the fires that are happening in some of the hot places in the world. And you can see that they're all fanning and burning things up and leaving bushes absolutely black. And then moving as the flames go on. But this bush, that didn't happen. It just continued to burn. And the branches were still there. So, and then Moses hears a voice from the bush which says, "Moses, Moses." And he answers, "Here I am." So I think he gets a bit inquisitive. Would you be inquisitive if there was a bush burning and it was just not going out? I know that I would have to get there. And just like that, Moses started towards it. And the voice tells him to stop, that he's on holy ground. So Moses did. And then what happens is Moses realizes that this is God speaking to him through this bush which is burning. And that's why it's not burning. And he tells Moses that he's got a job for him, really. He wants him to go and free the Israelites, as you said. And can you imagine how that must have felt? How would you feel if somebody was giving you a big job like that? You would have a lot of doubts, wouldn't you? You would think, how am I going to do this? And Moses has got lots of doubts, but he asks one question. And the question he asks is, he says, "Who will I say has sent me?" And then there's these very famous words who he says, "Tell them that I am who I am." Because Moses asks for the name of the person. And God's not going to be drawn into that. So it's a very strange story, and it's one that we have no explanation for. People have tried to work out what type of bush it might have been, or why it happened, or was it the sun, or all sorts of reasons, but it becomes something that we don't know how it happened. And we believe that it happened because we believe that God was speaking from that bush. Now, we know God can do marvellous things because he sent us Jesus as a baby, lived on earth, taught us many, many things, and he died, but he rose again. So that was another thing that we don't have an absolute answer for. So what I have in my hand is nothing to do with that, but I found it, and I thought maybe it kind of gives you an explanation about sometimes we don't always need to know all the answers. So, can you read what it says?
Magic towel.
A magic towel. So this is a towel. And it says, how you make it work is you put it into warm water. Now, I don't know if this will work or not, because I've never done it before. So here we go. Who wants to pop it in the bowl? Pop it in the bowl for me. Put it in there. Just drop it in. And how about you be the person that pours the water on? Just pour it in. That's it. And let's see if something's going to happen. Nothing's happening. I don't think the water was hot enough, Hugh. Let's see. Let's give it a wee poke. It's not happening. Now, that's awful. Well, I take it back to the shop that I got it. Let's see. Well, we'll give it a... Hope you don't mind. We'll just take a wee minute here to try and make this work. Well, yes.
You think it takes a while to do it?
You think it takes a while? Maybe I'm impatient. Is that what it is? Well, I thought what was going to happen is we were going to pour the hot water onto it. All of a sudden, this magic towel was going to appear. And that's not what's happening. It's just doing nothing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well.
Maybe I need to peel something off it.
Well, we try that. Let's see. Didn't tell us to do that, though. A disaster. An absolute disaster. Well, I give up. What was meant to happen there was that all that cellophane stuff on it was meant to come off and a towel was meant to appear. We would wring it out and we would have had a towel to wash our face with. But you see, things don't always go the way you want them to go. But had it happened, let's use our imagination, had it happened and it had done that, would we have known why it happened? Not really, wouldn't we? We might have been able to Google it, I suppose. Maybe we should Google it and ask why it didn't happen. But we can do these sort of things today. But you know, when we go back to our story of Moses, there's no way that we can Google the burning bush and get an answer. Because you see, we believe that was God speaking to Moses. And he speaks to Moses many times while he's trying to get the people out of Israel. So, my magic towel didn't work. I don't know why it didn't work. If it had worked, I wouldn't have known why it had worked. So it's the same thing. But I'm going to leave that till the end of the service and see what happens. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, we might have something here. You might be right. It maybe needs a lot of time. See what's happening here. Ta-da! And as you can see, it's one, it's got a lovely racing car on it. So, would you like to have this doll? Would you? Because I think it's just right for your age and you'll be able to wash your face with it. Okay. So there you go. We still don't know how it worked, how it didn't work, but we gave it a little help and it was able to do that. So that just lets us know there are many things we can't explain. And one of the things that we're going to be talking about later today is Moses in the burning bush. So we're going to sing our hymn for this morning, which is the hymn from Mission Praise 445. Lord, the light of your love is shining.
Thank you. Before we turn to God's word this morning, we'll remain seated and sing our prayer for understanding, mission praise 192, God of grace and God of glory. And we'll sing verses 1, 3 and 5. As we've already heard, the reading this morning is from Exodus 3, verses 1 to 15. This can be found on page 59 in the Pew Bibles. That's Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. Entitled, Moses and the Burning Bush. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God, where the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because they are slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, Hivites and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, well, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Amen, and may God add a blessing to this reading of his holy word. We'll now stand to sing mission praise number 50, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. For the past three summers, I have said that I would go up into the attic and clear it out. Having lived in the same house with three children for 42 years, the attic is the place where you put everything that you don't have room for in your bedroom. I am sure you can imagine what it looks like, and perhaps some of your attics look the same. Boxes upon boxes, snowboards, the list is endless. Well, last week I decided it was now or never. So I pulled the ladder down, climbed up, put the light on, and just about turned round and went back down again. The only thing stopping me was that my friend Yvonne was at the bottom of the ladder. She had come to help. So I had to start this sorting out. What has to stay in one pile? What has to be donated in another pile? What has to go to the children's own homes so they can save it? And at last, what was destined for landfill? So sitting in the attic, of course the memories start flooding back and you start to open things, and instead of clearing out, you're sitting reading and finding a big box of books from my childhood started me thinking about today's reading from Exodus, because I thought on a book that I had been given some 60 odd years ago. Now, I could just imagine this book, because it was a book of the stories of the Old Testament. And on the front cover, it had a picture of Moses striking the stone and the water gushing out. Now, it wasn't a high-gloss digital book of today. It was rather plain, black and white, with one or two coloured plates. And I remember one of the coloured plates was of the burning bush, with Moses in front of it. So you can imagine what happened. I set off to find that book in all the boxes of books. Well, sadly, I couldn't find it. But I haven't given up. We're only halfway through cleaning out the attic, so I might come across it yet. The story of Moses and the burning bush that Graham read for us this morning, it's just an amazing account of the spectacular event in the history of the Israelites. Moses, tending his sheep, is drawn to the spectacular scene. The event was so supernatural that Moses was compelled to observe the burning bush that was not consumed. And it must have just been an awesome sight, an angel appearing within the bush. And it was no wonder that Moses thought he had to get a little closer to see what was happening and to find out why, the reason why this bush was not being consumed by the flames. My guess is that Moses did not expect what happened next. God calling from the bush, "Moses, Moses." And then the next words of Moses, "Here I am." And then the warning not to come any closer. And the statement that the voice was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then we hear one of the first commissions of our Bible. "Go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people out of slavery." As a child, I probably stopped there in my understanding of this part of the story, the bush, and asking Moses. And I'm sure I did not question the fact that the bush burned but was not consumed. Exodus 3 is one of the best known and most theologically confusing passages of the Old Testament. The passage is filled with difficulties and unexplained details. The advice from biblical scholars is not to seek to solve the ambiguities, but simply to name them, to admire them, these mysteries associated with theophany. As an adult, the next few verses of chapter 3 become more important. Moses' doubt about being able to carry out God's instructions. Doubt, something that confronts each and every one of us at any time, in any circumstances on our lives. In times of doubt, we have many questions. And I am sure that in his head, Moses must have had many questions about how he would go about and manage to do what God was asking him. The one question that is recorded is, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" The reply, I am who I am. Stunning words. They have also been translated as, I am that I am, or I will be who I will be. God gives a cryptic answer to Moses' request for a name. He has to tell the Israelites, I am sent me to you. It must have been an amazing encounter. But God goes on to say, I will be with you. These declarations were what Moses probably needed at that point, what Moses needed to hear. God does not reassure Moses of his leadership capacities, or of his skill sets, or of his charisma. He simply tells Moses that he will be with him always. An interesting point is that we do not know if the people of Israel ever asked the question, what is the name of the one who sent you? I do not know about you, but I cannot claim to understand fully who God is. I cannot fathom him. God is so big that we cannot pigeonhole him. He is so deep that we can never understand his depth. The prophets of the Old Testament were very clear on their understanding of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The prophet Isaiah said this about God, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Our acknowledgement is that God's love is so great. His power is so awesome. His knowledge is so complete. His awareness of all things is so total. And I think there is little more to say. I take the advice of the biblical scholars and do not attempt to solve the ambiguities. Although doing some research early in the week, I came up with several ideas about how that bush burned, but none of them really make so much sense. Google the burning bush and you will see what I mean. In the world of 2023, it's a world of science. It's a world of artificial intelligence, if I knew what that was. It's a world of questioning. And only this morning on the radio, I heard it's a world of robotic preacher. Japan and in Singapore, they are trying out a robotic preacher versus a human. To date, the human is still winning. So in this world that is perhaps more challenging than it has been for some time, we can be asked some questions. Questions about why we believe in a God such as ours, the God of love, who so loved the world that he sent his only Son to live among us, to show his love and to die for our sins. I cannot answer any questions. I can only speak of the good news of our Bible, what it means to follow Christ and to believe in the God who states, I am who I am. The God who knows the past, the present, and the future. All powerful, all knowing, all seeing, and all loving. All glory be to him. Amen. We continue our worship now in the morning anthem. We turn to Christ alone. Be to God for his praise and music. We pray now for our world in thanksgiving and intercession. Let us pray. Eternal God, we come this day in thanksgiving and intercession as we bring before you our world. In a week where climate change has resulted in wildfires spreading throughout different lands, we pray for the people in these countries where the sun has been so hot that fires have flamed up. We pray for those evacuated from towns and villages, for those whose livelihoods are being threatened, and for those whose holidays have been spoiled. For those who fight these fires, putting themselves at risk, for all who help in the many different aspects of evacuation. As climate change makes the problem worse, We pray this day for sustained progress towards carbon reduction across the globe. Living God, we pray for people and nations of our world whose voices are not heard as they struggle with the effects of war, flood, famine or drought, where anger, hatred and greed seek to destroy any hope of peace. We thank you for the many organisations who seek to bring relief, support and peace to the needy of our world. As we progress through the summer months, we are encouraged through adverts and media to take holidays, to spend time with family and friends. We remember now those for whom summer brings no let up from struggle to make ends meet, those whose lives are short of sunshine, those who have been given up on the thoughts of holidays, expensive outings or socialising, concerned only with getting food onto their family's plates. We ask for your blessing on the charities who work to reduce food poverty and those who run food banks. Gracious God, we pray for people we know this day, those who are ill, anxious or bereaved, for those who are lonely or living alone, and for those who are weary and carrying heavy burdens due to the economic effects of the rising cost of living. Faithful God, we thank you for the generations who have gone before us and followed you in the past, especially those who have guided and inspired us. We pray for all the people who are seeking you today. Help us to spread the good news with confidence so that those who are searching and listening will draw nearer to you. Loving and living God, we bring before you our world, asking for your blessing upon it. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Redeemer. Amen. We bring our time together of fellowship to a close with a hymn that speaks of the wonder and the greatness of our God. The hymn number 506, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made. Thank you. Into God's gracious care and protection I commit you. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and all whom you love, this day and forevermore.